From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 23rd day of March 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Greg Johnson will join us to take up the cash grain segment. He's from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And along the way, I'll bring you up to speed on all the agricultural news for the day. And we'll hear from Todd Hubbs. He spoke Friday at the first FarmDoc Daily Coronavirus and Ag webinar. More on that as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, in Chicago, as we go into the close, because we're recording a little early, I'm not on campus, but in my home studio. Corn was up 1 cent in the May, the December up a penny and three quarters. The soybeans were up around 19 cents in the May contract, and the rest of them a bit higher in the July, August, even the September, those July and August, around 18 cents higher. November up a dime. And taking a quick look, at the wheat futures, July there up around 17 cents for the soft red, the July and the hard red up around 20 cents. Livestock futures trading up the limit in the $3 for the live cattle. This as we go into the close, but not the finish. Feeders were locked up, the expanded limit $4.50, and lean hogs were also $3 higher for the day. As we went into the close, we're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Everything's a bit different this week as we start to talk. I'm at home. You guys are spread out all over the place. I know you're dealing with a lot of technical things to get through this marketplace, but you're paying really close attention to what's happened in Chicago. What'd you make of the marketplace for the day and kind of the last week or so?
He needed to take place in through here. Concern securing meal and beans out of the southern hemisphere kind of started with the Argentine meal situation. We did see some business come here to the U.S. here flying under the radar. The next step is the Brazilian beans. There's talk of maybe some port slowdowns due to the idea they're concerned about health issues. And so that's got the trade a little bit on edge, trying to secure some supplies in through here. I'm not seeing any the real near-term additional business, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit more bookings take place here. On the May upfront contract here, we're back to where we broke out to the downside. If you look at the May meal, soybeans, we've got a chart gap from this 885 to about this 888 area. So that's kind of an area to see if we can fill that gap and try to move higher yet. If we go back to the highs here 3-4 weeks ago, that puts us up around 910. So for those that do have the basis contracts, basis is widened out and through here. Producers are taking a little bit of advantage here on the up move. It's probably an opportunity to push a little bit more out the door and through here. A lot of spread activity, buying beans, selling corn, buying wheat, selling corn. Wheat's fairly strong. There's talk maybe a slowdown in some of this demand, or not demand, but mainly export being a capability, export capability out of the Black Sea region. And so we're seeing a little bit of premium come back into the wheat market. Buying wheat, selling corn. Now you got to watch that spread. Here we're getting back above the $2 level. So when we start to see that happen, the wheat gets a little bit too pricey. Then, of course, as a broken record, the corn market's at the mercy of the energy market, and this gasoline has now gone below the 50-cent area on the board here. So this gasoline basically has been in a free fall, and the concern about limited travel, not only gasoline but jet fuel, backing up some inventory here. But once this market kinds of stabilizing through here, we kind of feel this corn market can kind of find some traction just below, because there is some fairly good feed demand. Feed is kind of at a bargain here with the lower price, so it's an opportunity to book some feed needs. As you notice there, cattle lock limit up. There's about 4,000 contracts to buy in April up front here and about 2,000 in the back end. The big news is the Packers, one Packer came forward here and offered $5 premium if you can bring some fats in this week yet. So it kind of signals there's some demand, strong demand there, and the Packer has a lot of room to work with. So hopefully we've turned the corner here on this meat market here and put some value back in into the meat complex.
Yeah, trying to replenish and restock the supplies that had been moved out of the grocery stores and just getting the supply chain back in order. I don't think that'll take very long. You mentioned crude oil and gasoline. Just to be clear, gasoline now, around 48 cents per gallon. That's really low, the lowest I've seen it. Crude oil is $22 a barrel. Ethanol futures are a premium to the RBOB. They're at 87 cents. That's probably going to be pretty tough on that marketplace for some time, I would think.
Yeah. The sad part is we live in Illinois, so even though the gas is RBOB's at 50 cents, we're still going to pay what we call a premium on that. Crude oil did dip down to below $20. It's about $20 too cheap per barrel. We're going to see a lot of production cuts, so eventually we'll use up some inventory and take it away. But right now, the concerns of the ethanol group there, there's real concerns that, yeah, they'll take some downtime, but will they be able to restart here and capture some cheaper corn or some higher prices to make a profit? Right now, there's a lot of red in that industry. And if you look at the long-term supply-demand balance sheets that a lot of you have picked up there at the meetings this past winter, ethanol is just a huge, huge, huge base in through there. The alternative, the alcohol, we've seen a lot of innovative people and companies come forward and start to incorporate some alcohol into these disinfectants and hand sanitizers. So there's a lot of creative people out there coming forward.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. He joins us each and every Monday on the Closing Market Report to take a look at what's happened in the world of agricultural commodities at the CME Group in Chicago and around the planet. You can listen to it again anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willhe.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report, including Commodity Week, recorded on Thursday afternoons. In today's agricultural news, we'll start with last night's Coronavirus Task Force press conference. President Trump was asked during the conference when he had last talked with President Xi. He didn't answer that part of the question, but turned to the Phase One trade agreement.
And one thing they told me, I was told by our great Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, that China's been buying a lot of our farm product, and I'm looking at different pricing. But China has, despite all of this, and it started... this delayed it a little bit, obviously, but it started fairly recently. But China's buying. We made a new deal, as you know, with China, a very big trade deal, and China has been buying our agricultural product.
Clearly, the president is aware agricultural prices have suffered since the Phase One deal was inked. He said, "I'm looking at different pricing," but did not suggest what that might mean. China started buying U.S. ag commodities last Friday. They bought 756,000 tons of old crop corn, 340,000 tons of new crop hard red winter wheat, and 110,000 tons of old crop soybeans on that day. Traders will watch closely this week to see if China continues to make purchases. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., Congress is grappling with how to deal with the economic fallout and putting together a package that the president is likely to sign as soon as they can possibly get it to his desk. On the farm side, the legislation would increase the annual borrowing limit for the Commodity Credit Corporation. That's how the MFP payments were made. From $30 billion to $50 billion. It also provides emergency appropriations for USDA agencies to keep operating amid the pandemic. Now let's turn to the ethanol industry, which says it needs immediate help from Congress and the administration to avert a possible collapse. Renewable Fuels Association Chief Jeff Cooper says the crisis for ethanol is unprecedented.
Motor fuel demand is plummeting. And most analysts today are expecting about a 20 to 25% drop in consumption in the near term. We've seen ethanol prices fall to record lows. So it's not surprising then that ethanol producer margins have also fallen and are deeply, you know, in deep negative territory in the last several days. These are some of the worst margins that we've seen in the industry's history.
It all serves to compound the earlier problem, says the RFA's Cooper, of the demand lost to the China trade war and also the EPA small refinery waivers that have been granted by the Trump administration. The RFA's chief economist, Scott Richmond, says corn prices are suffering along with ethanol.
We've seen corn prices slump on days when ethanol prices have slumped and general markets have slumped. However, with margins that are as deeply in the red as they currently are, corn prices have not fallen as much as it would take to get ethanol production close to profitable.
Ethanol production consumes about one-third of the total corn supply in the United States, according to the monthly USDA reports. On a related note, another third, a bit more actually than that, of the corn supply in the United States is used to feed livestock. And Stephanie Ho from the United States Department of Agriculture reminds us that the agency's employees are vital to keeping the food supply lines open.
As social distancing becomes the norm for more people in this country, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue wants to remind everyone that there are many who cannot telework.
I just want to really speak from my heart to all you folks out there that are working on the front lines of our food supply chain. You know, we're spoiled in America. You've provided such abundant, healthy, wholesome, affordable, available food that we take you for granted.
He highlighted who he was talking about.
From the people who are stocking those shelves, the people who are driving the trucks to get this food to us, the people who are processing the food, and the people who grow the food, and all the vendors that supplied our farmers to help them grow this food, whether it's fertilizer or feed or seed or any other input. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
He added that USDA food safety inspectors also are continuing to work on the front lines. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And finally today, the FarmDoc team last Friday kicked off a coronavirus and ag webinar series. I moderate the series. It comes up each and every Tuesday and Friday at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, and you can still join this webinar if you'd like by going to go.illinois.edu/FDDLive or to willag.org, either one or just to the FarmDoc Daily website. And getting yourself registered, tomorrow morning we'll talk with Dr. Jim Lowe. He's an infectious disease specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois in the livestock sector. We did a practice run this morning. Here's what he has to say about what he'll be covering.
Goal is really to answer these four questions today. So why are we worried and what does really zoonosis mean? And then obviously things have changed here in the last few days as we're all being asked to stay home. So why are we locked up at home? And then what's this going to do to the food supply chain at the end of the day? And what do we think is going to happen? So I'll talk a little bit about what we know on the livestock side with that.
Jim Lowe is from the College of Veterinary Medicine and will be a panelist on the FarmDoc Daily Live Coronavirus and Ag webinar tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central Time. You can find the details on the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You can register today to join that webinar. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, last week when we kicked off the webinar series, and you can find the archive of this on the FarmDoc Daily website, just hit the YouTube icon. That's the YouTube icon. It'll be close to the top of the page at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, and you'll find a link to the first in the Coronavirus and Ag series webinars. Last Friday, we were joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist. Here are his comments.
So I'm just going to do a general crop outlook. There's been a lot of discussion already in this webinar about the duration and severity of the economic contraction. The discussion on the supply chain is key. If we can keep our supply chains in place, I'm looking particularly to our competitors in South America, China, and places in the EU. If we can see their supply chain start to break down, particularly in South America, that may be supportive to us as we move into the summer. It's just really uncertain right now. It feels like China and many of the Asian countries are starting to emerge from this. and I think buying could be there. And that sort of brings us, and I get this question a lot, you know, is China going to meet their phase one trade obligations? Based on the start of the year, it doesn't look like it. They've got off to a slow start because of the repercussions around COVID-19 in their country. They're well behind what they said they were going to buy in 2020. I do still think they'll try to buy a significant amount of agricultural products in the United States as we move through the rest of 2020. And if there are issues in South America and other places, that will benefit us if we can keep our supply chains in place. So as we're moving into 2020, the idea around acreage, I think a lot of people are talking about right now. And I agree with Gary, it's too early to start thinking about shifting acreage. With the recent price movements we've seen in soybeans and corn, the harvest price ratio on cash in Central Illinois is not saying it's a no-brainer to plant corn right now. And we'll have to see how it moves through time. But it's a little bit early. Let's see how this thing moves over the next few weeks. We may get back to business as usual, or not as usual, but back to some sort of business a little bit quicker than many of the commentators are now speculating. That would be my preference, and hopefully that's the case. When we talk about corn in particular, particularly marketing old crop corn, I know a lot of farmers out there are probably on basis contracts that you've rolled forward. That may turn out to be a good thing for you. We've seen basis in corn weaken dramatically since this took off, and a lot of that's due to ethanol plants. We've heard of ethanol plants idling. The idea of gas consumption falling drastically looks like it's a foregone conclusion. It's just the magnitude of it. I wrote about it being 15 to 20% a couple of weeks ago. It may be worse than that. And on top of that, the Saudi-Russia price war around oil has driven oil prices down to really low levels, and gasoline as well, to where we see ethanol at a premium over gas prices. So in the short run here, a way to think about it is, you know, if this lasted 2 months and we saw a 15% contraction, that may relate to around 120 to 150 million bushels of corn. It may take a while for the ethanol industry to gear back up if there's a bunch of idling. So this could be a little bit worse. And I think you'll see basis reflect that. Exports for corn, we still need to expand the pace. I've been watching the Brazilian second crop progress closely as we move into April, May, some key months. We could get them to short that crop a bit. I don't want to root for them to have supply chain problems, but if they did, that would be beneficial to us. And on top of all that, when we think about feed use, there's still a lot of livestock out there. If we can keep the supply chain in place, the first indication will be March 1st grain stocks. And I think there are a lot of quality issues with corn, so we could see some really strong feeding, but this may have implications for the second half of 2020. If livestock production scales back appreciably in the summer. So right now, you know, if you're looking to market old crop corn, I'm sort of in a wait and see mode. If we could pull out of this between May and June, we may be able to see prices come back a little bit. I'm not expecting a miracle. For soybeans, we're still seeing a pretty decent crush, and barring any interruption in their supply chain, I think that may continue. Brazil put on a pretty good crop this year, but once again, will they be able to move it? I think China will show up this year. I think you're going to see soybeans, and possibly if Argentina restricts trade, soybean meal exports get some real strength. So I don't want to seem too optimistic, but I don't think it's all gloom and doom if we can get through this in a timely manner. And, you know, maybe hold your marketing for a little bit to see how this plays out.
That was Todd Hubb speaking during the Friday Farm Doc Daily Live Coronavirus and Ag webinar series. It continues tomorrow at 11 a.m. and then again on Friday as well. Tomorrow, Jim Lowe, infectious disease specialist from the College of Veterinary Medicine here, will try to put some perspective on what lessons can be learned about mitigation from the livestock sector as it relates to coronavirus in human beings. Now, up next, Greg Johnson is here from the Andersons. Greg, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. It's been a while since we've talked. The big change has been in the basis for corn. That's all related to the ethanol industry and lagging demand.
Yes, crude oil prices have really tanked. pardon the pun. So that has led to lower gasoline prices. In fact, in some places, gasoline prices are lower than ethanol prices. So it's not real economical for blenders to blend any more than they absolutely have to. And we're not exporting very much at this point. So ethanol margins are negative, and you've got some ethanol plants that are normally take some downtime, taking 10 to 15 days down. Normally, they may be taking 20 to 30 days of downtime. And consequently, the corn that they bought, anticipating that they were going to make into ethanol, now they don't need as much corn, so now they're selling that corn back. So the lack of buying from the ethanol plants, plus them reselling that back into the market, has really caused the corn basis, nearby corn basis, to really come under pressure. We're hoping that this is temporary. And that basis levels will get stronger for corn, as they have for beans and wheat. But the corn basis has really taken a hit here over the last week to 10 days.
Yeah, so it may be a really kind of slump time for ethanol simply because gasoline is so darn cheap.
Yes, yes. And ethanol, ethanol margins are negative, and that that lowers the demand for ethanol, which lowers the demand for corn right now. So corn basis is extremely weak right now, but hopefully crude oil prices will come back, those margins will strengthen, and we'll see the demand for corn pick back up again. It's just a question of when that might happen.
What do you see in the livestock sector?
The livestock processors are trying to get meat into the supermarkets. The theory is that we're not seeing, that we wouldn't use as much demand because people are eating at home as opposed to eating out. But still, you've got the flip side of that with people wanting to stock up on livestock, on meat. So we're seeing a shortage in the grocery store, so that should hopefully translate back to increased demand, and we should start seeing demand for livestock pick up here sooner rather than later, I would think.
I suppose farmers are just standing aside the marketplace at this time.
They are. The wheat market has picked up. The bean market has picked up. Basis levels are relatively good for those commodities. So on a little bit more of a rally, if we can gain back some of what we lost, I think farmers might sell. But corn basis is telling farmers not to sell corn. And we lost 60 cents in corn since the first of the year, and we've only gained back about 15 cents of that. Beans, we lost $1.40 since the first of the year. And we're starting to gain some of that back. And wheat the same way. I think we lost 50, 60 cents in wheat, and we're gaining a lot of that back now. So beans and wheat prices aren't terrible, but the corn price between the flat price and the basis and the futures price, it's not a good situation for corn right now.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons and joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Monday afternoon from Illinois Public Media. You may find us and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. The address is WILLAG.org.